Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
When you read through the Kings and the Chronicles in the Old Testament, you see some very, very, very important truths. Israel started out as a country established on the truth of God's words, and they fell away. Likewise, the United States of America was established on God's truth. And as Israel fell away from God and His truth, the Lord backed away from them until they were eventually destroyed. And when I read Kings, I see the same thing happening in the United States. And so today what we're going to do is we're going to look in Kings and Chronicles at some similarities between things that happened to Israel and things that are happening in the United States of America. And they're not good. Notice, for instance, that there was division within the country. In 1 Kings chapter 12, Rehoboam is the successor to Solomon on the throne of David. And the people that are in the 10 northern tribes, there's already been pressure for them to split. There, you'll see under David's rule and that there were undercurrents of this when Ephraim was upset, even back in the time of the judges, with certain things that were being done by other men that had judged in the country. There were divisions and rumblings already beginning. Well, when Rehoboam took the throne, Israel came to him and said, well, you know, your father was kind of hard on us. You're going to go a little easier on us? And he got with his counselors and he said, no, I'm going to be harder on you than my dad was. And in 1 Kings chapter 12 and verse 16, when all Israel saw that the king hearkened not unto them, the people answered the king, saying, what portion have we in David? Neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your tents, O Israel. Now see to thine own house, David. So Israel departed unto their tents. And it was right here that the kingdom split, and 10 tribes went to Jeroboam, and the 2 southern tribes stayed with the descendants of David as their ruler. The kingdom split. And you know, the division between Israel and Judah was so bad that they fought against each other and even made alliances with their enemies to join them in the fight against each other. I'll give you one example. There are numerous examples. 1 Kings chapter 15. 1 Kings chapter 15. Asa is now on the throne in Judah, and Baasha is the king of Israel. And in 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 16, there was war between Asa and Baasha, king of Israel, all their days. And Baasha, king of Israel, went up against Judah and built Ramah, that he might not suffer any to go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. Then Asa took all the silver and the gold that were left in the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house, and delivered them into the hand of his servants. And King Asa sent them to Ben-Hadad, the son of Tabrimmon, the son of Hezion, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus, saying, there is a league between me and thee, and between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent unto thee a present of silver and gold. Come and break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he might depart from me. You see what I mean? This thing was horrible. Not only did the kingdom split, but then there were payments made to foreign governments so that they would join in an alliance with, you know, part of the country of Israel, Judah, in their fight against the other part of the country of Israel, which were the 10 northern tribes. I'm telling you, it was a terrible, terrible division, and you could see the same thing going on repeatedly when you read the Kings. You know what? America is a country divided. It really is, and it becomes more divided, I guess, or some people say polarized, it seems like, with each successive election and each successive generation. This is not a good thing. Can a kingdom divided against itself stand? No. Here's another similarity, if you will, between what's going on in the United States today and what went on back in Israel and back in Judah in the Book of the Kings. Conspiracies against the leaders. Now, there are numerous of these conspiracies against the leaders. Let's just look at a few. 2 Kings chapter 12. 2 Kings chapter 12. And look at verses 19 and 20. The rest of the acts of Joash and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? And his servants arose and made a conspiracy and slew Joash in the house of Millo, which goeth down to Silla. And then in 2 Kings chapter 14, verse 19, there's another conspiracy. Now they made a conspiracy against him in Jerusalem, and he fled to Lachish. And they sent after him to Lachish and slew him there. Who was that? Amaziah, the son of Joash. And then you see repeated conspiracies in 2 Kings chapter 15, verse 10, verse 25, and then verse 30. And it continues. Today in the United States, there are accusations. There are rumors of conspiracies taking place during elections. Why? To sway the election toward one of the candidates. That's the purpose. But you see what it is? It's an undermining of proper authority. That's what it is. It is an assassination of character. That's what it is. And so it further divides the country, and it also destabilizes the respective people for the office of, let's say, President of the United States, or a senator, or a congressman. I'll show you something else we see. Look in 2 Kings chapter 21, 2 Kings chapter 21, at verse 16. Here we are looking at the reign of Manasseh, who was Hezekiah's son. 2 Kings chapter 21, and in verse 16. You know what he did? He shed innocent blood. The Bible says, "Moreover, Manasseh shed innocent blood very much, till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another, beside his sin, wherewith he made Judah sin, in doing that which was evil in the sight of the Lord." Now the Lord also comments on this in 2 Kings chapter 24, verses 3 and 4, when he is getting ready to destroy Judah. 2 Kings chapter 24, verse 3, "Surely at the commandment of the Lord came this upon Judah, to remove them out of his sight for the sins of Manasseh, according to all that he did, and also for the innocent blood that he shed, for he filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, which the Lord would not pardon." So Manasseh was one of the worst kings, actually was the worst king, that Judah had when it came to shedding innocent blood. And when you look in our country today, the blood of innocent children has been slain by abortion for, what, 50 years? And I'm telling you something. The blood of those innocent children must surely cry to the Lord, just like Abel's did after Abel was slain by Cain. Don't think for a minute that the Lord doesn't know what's been going on in this country. Listen, there are a lot of things by way of murders and the shedding of innocent blood that take place here that shouldn't be taking place. But all that blood that's been shed, I would say, has to be more, much more than Manasseh shed in Judah. You see that in this country? There are so many similarities between what went on in Israel or what went on in Judah back in the days of the Bible and the kings and what's going on in this country. Division within the country, conspiracies against the leaders, shedding of innocent blood. I'll show you something else. Look in 2 Chronicles chapter 13. 2 Chronicles chapter 13. And just bear with me for a moment as we look at these passages in 2 Chronicles, because this really emphasizes something that's been going on in our country. In 2 Chronicles chapter 13 and in verse 3, we find that in Judah, Abijah had 400,000 men in his army. And he fought against Israel under Jeroboam, and Israel had 800,000 soldiers against him. In other words, he was outnumbered 2-1. Abijah set the battle in array with an army of valiant men of war, even 400,000 chosen men. Jeroboam also set the battle in array against him with 800,000 chosen men, being mighty men of valor. So there's one of those wars between Judah and Israel. But this one didn't have the assistance of even foreign countries, which was the point we were emphasizing before. Now, he was outnumbered 2-1. But do you know how the battle turned out? In 2 Chronicles chapter 13, verse 17, Abijah and his people slew them with a great slaughter, so there fell down slain of Israel 500,000 chosen men. They weren't a big army, but they were a good army. And literally, there were 500,000 casualties in Israel. Very strong military, in spite of the fact that they weren't large. You know what you're seeing in this country? You're seeing a shrinking military strength. Shrinking of our military strength. Now, in Abijah's day, the army in Judah was 400,000. Now look in 2 Chronicles chapter 14 at verse 8. 2 Chronicles chapter 14 at verse 8. Asa had an army of men that bear targets and spears out of Judah, watch it, 300,000, and out of Benjamin, which was the other tribe in Judah, that bare shields and drew bows, 280,000. All these were mighty men of valor. So by the time of Asa, who was the next king after Abijah, the army had grown from 400,000 to 580,000. And they were attacked by the Ethiopians under Zerah. And you know how many enemy attacked them under Zerah? 1,000,000. 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 9. There came out against them Zerah, the Ethiopian, with an host of 1,000,000 and 300 chariots, and came to Maresha. That's 1,000,000. So they weren't quite outnumbered 2-1. Okay, because there were 580,000 against 1,000,000, but it was close to 2-1. And you know what happened? The enemy, the Ethiopians, were destroyed by that army. Why? Very, very powerful. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 14, 13, and Asa and the people that were with him pursued them unto Gerar, and the Ethiopians were overthrown that they could not recover themselves, for they were destroyed before the Lord and before his host, and they carried away very much spoil. In 2 Chronicles chapter 17, I know this can get a little bit tedious because we're just dealing with some numbers here, but I want you to see this trend and what God did for Israel with a strong military and a growing military. So under Abijah, the military in Judah was 400,000. Under Asa, his successor, the ranks had swelled to 580,000. In 2 Chronicles chapter 17, verses 14 to 18, you can read the numbers here because now there are divisions of the army. The ranks had swollen now to, listen, 1,160,000 soldiers. 160,000 soldiers. All right, so under Abijah, 400,000. The next king, Asa, 580,000. The next king, Jehoshaphat, 1,160,000. In other words, the military was doubled from one king to the next. And if you read those passages that I just read to you, 2 Chronicles 13 to 2 Chronicles chapter 17, you know what? God defeated Israel's or Judah's enemies every single time they fought. But then look what happened in Israel by the time Ahab, Jehoshaphat's contemporary, fought the Syrians. All right, let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 20. 1 Kings chapter 20, and here's Jehoshaphat's contemporary. You understand, when Abijah fought Baasha, Israel had 800,000 and Judah only had 400,000. By the time of Jehoshaphat, the army under Jehoshaphat was nearly three times as large as it was under Abijah, and yet in Israel, in the same period of time under Ahab, the army had shrunk to such a degree that when Ahab tried to defend himself against the Syrians, the Bible describes his little band of men like two little flocks of kids. 1 Kings chapter 20, verse 27. The children of Israel were numbered and were all present. That's roll call. That's what people say. King James Bible is hard to understand. Not if you've ever been somewhere. That's what you say when there's been a successful roll call. All present. And went against them. And the children of Israel pitched before them like two little flocks of kids. But the Syrians filled the country. You see? A shrinking military. And I'm telling you what, before Judah ever went into captivity, Israel was attacked by the Assyrians and destroyed and taken into captivity. And you know what one of the reasons was? A shrinking military. Shrinking military strength. I'll show you something else. And these are similarities between Israel in the Bible and what you see going on in our country today. A declining economy. Let's go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 17. 2 Chronicles chapter 17, this is where we saw Jehoshaphat's ranks of 1,160,000 troops in his military. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 17, let's look at verses 12 and 13 and notice the description of his robust economy. Jehoshaphat waxed exceedingly, and he built in Judah castles, so there is an improvement of the infrastructure, and cities of store. That means there is a bountiful harvest, and they've got to store what they're reaping in cities of store so that they have provisions in the event that they have to ever go through a famine or a siege or a war. Verse 13, and he had much business in the cities of Judah, and the men of war, mighty men of valor, were in Jerusalem. So he's building castles, he's improving the infrastructure, got a robust production, and he has much business in the cities of Judah. So he's got a strong economy, robust economy. Now, by the time of Hezekiah's reign, which is one of his further descendants, by the time of Hezekiah's reign, watch what's happened. 2 Kings chapter 18. 2 Kings chapter 18. And look at verse 13 through 16. 2 Kings 18, verse 13. Now, in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, did Sennacherib, king of Assyria, come up against him, watch it, and took all the fenced cities of Judah. Wow. And Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent to the king of Assyria to Lachish, saying, I have offended. Return from me. That which thou puttest on me will I bear. And the king of Assyria appointed unto Hezekiah, king of Judah, 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. And Hezekiah gave him all the silver that was found in the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. Watch it. At that time did Hezekiah cut off the gold from the doors of the temple of the Lord and from the pillars which Hezekiah, king of Judah, had overlaid and gave it to the king of Assyria. Do you see what you're reading here? By the time of Hezekiah's reign, the economy in Judah and the military were so weakened that Judah could not defend itself against the Assyrians. The cities of Judah were taken. And when there was tribute laid upon him, Hezekiah had to cut the gold off the doors and pillars of the temple to pay the portion of the tribute that was due in gold. How much was laid upon him? 30 talents of gold. 30 talents of gold is an amount that was less than 1/20th of the amount of gold that came to Solomon in just 1 year. You know what that's evidence of? A declining economy. You know what you're seeing in the United States of America? A declining economy. And I'll show you something else you see that was going on in Judah that's very similar to something you've seen recently in our country. 2 Kings chapter 23, verse 33. 2 Kings chapter 23 and verse 33. When Pharaoh Necho attacked Jehoahaz, the Bible says Pharaoh Necho in 2 Kings 23, 33, put him in bands at Riblah in the land of Hamath, that he might not reign in Jerusalem, and put the land to a tribute of 100 talents of silver and a talent of gold. You know what they had to do? They had to pay that to a foreign country. You know what Hezekiah had to do to the Assyrians? He had to pay them a tribute. This is what it's called in the Bible. It's called a tribute. They put them down in this amount of money. Some people characterize our payment to Iran, which was what, $1.7 billion? They characterize it as a ransom. Whatever you want to call it, you have to ask yourself this question: what in the world was that payment for? You know, I mean, this is an enemy, and the sanctions have been lifted, and now the money is going over to a foreign country. That looks incredibly like the same thing that was going on in Israel when its country was divided, when innocent blood was being shed, when the military strength was declining, when the economy was declining. You see the similarities? I'll show you something else. 2 Kings chapter 17. 2 Kings chapter 17. What we're looking at is similarities that led to the decline and eventual destruction of Judah, that seemed to be leading to the decline of the United States of America. 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 8. Now in 2 Kings chapter 17, Samaria is taken. Israel is going to be carried into captivity by the Assyrians. This is it right here. This is it for Israel. Judah goes on with its kings, but Hoshea, that's it. It's over. And you know what happened? In 2 Kings chapter 17 and verse 8, here's one of the things that went wrong in Israel. They walked in the statutes of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel, and of the kings of Israel, which they had made. You know what they did? They walked in the statutes of the heathen. You know what we have in this country now? Ungodly statutes. That's right. The statutes of the heathen. The legislation in this country that legalizes immorality and that legalizes sins that cause the minds of the people to be reprobate because they don't like to retain God in their knowledge, have ruined this country and will ruin this country. If you go to Romans chapter 1, if you go to Romans chapter 1 and you read verses 20 to 32, which we're not going to read now, Romans chapter 1 verses 20 to 32, you see that the introduction of evolution into education and the removal of the Bible from education and the legalization of homosexuality reprobate the minds of the people because they do not like to retain God in their knowledge. And when that happens, God gives them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And when you read verses 29 through 32, you know what you see? You see a list of the very sins that are being committed regularly in the United States of America for which there are legal criminal causes every day. Every day. Now, according to Leviticus chapter 18, Leviticus chapter 18, verses 24 and 25, these sins of sodomy, for instance, are the reason that the inhabitants of the land of Canaan were vomited out of the land or spewed out of the land or run out of the land by Israel when they got there. Leviticus 18, verses 24 and 25, "Defile not ye yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you." So this isn't just... These comments we're making now about the ungodly statutes are not just for Israel. God expected the inhabitants of the land of Canaan, those nations that were there, the Girgashites and the Jebusites and the Canaanites and the Amorites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites, He expected those countries to be keeping these same laws. And because they didn't, the land was defiled. Therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nation, nor any stranger that sojourneth among you. Do you see how that thing applies? Well, it's for these same sins that we are that are now legal in the United States of America that the Canaanites were driven out of their land by Israel, and it's for these same sins that Israel was driven out by the Chaldeans, or that Judah was driven out by the Chaldeans. Do you see? People say, "Do you see the United States in prophecy?" Well, no, you don't look in there and see USA. You know what you see, though? You see similarities. You see history repeating itself. You know what's happened? According to 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 11, we have done what Judah did. We have provoked the Lord to anger. 2 Kings 17:11, and there they burnt incense in all the high places, as did the heathen whom the Lord carried away before them, and wrought wicked things, watch it, to provoke the Lord to anger. Now listen, when you read and believe the Bible, you get to know the Lord. And there is no question in my mind that the Lord is angry with our country right now. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Read Proverbs chapter 6 and look at verses 16 to 19. You'll find out that the things that go along here every day are things that the Lord hates, that are abominable to him. And then one last thing in the list, as long as we're going through this, we'll catch it quickly. The thing that brought Israel or Judah to its knees was the fear of other gods. 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 7. And so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, which had brought them up out of the land of Egypt, from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and feared other gods. And I'm going to tell you what, in no way, shape, or form is Allah the same as the God of the Bible. And yet you continually hear statements in our country that there's a shift giving preference to Allah over the God of the Bible. When Israel did this, God turned against them. When we do this, I believe God's going to do the same thing. Let me tell you something. We need to pray for our country. Amen? Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.